Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey, we want to let you know, if you are here for your first or second time, huge welcome. And can we put our hands together one more time? We like to clap, I know. On Zoom, come on Zoom, put those hands together. Anna, that's a very average clap, guys. I love you, but we can clap better than that. It's not golf here today, okay? Or cricket. And so, but we do want you to let you know that we are not here to judge your journey. We're here to celebrate your steps. And like Tawella said so beautifully, how amazing is Tawella? Oh my gosh. Yeah, come on, put your hands together one more time. We're going to have a clap-a-thon. I know. And happy clappy, it's true. We are happy. And we enjoy church. We're not here to endure it. We're not here to survive. Come on, am I right on the left side over here? We're not here to survive. We're here to enjoy church and have some fun. And so I want you to have fun today. And we really do believe in helping people, the people of Sydney. It's why we exist, for people in Sydney to know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. And we have building blocks that help us do that. And the building blocks that we have as a church are not just to build what we're doing. The building blocks exist to build you. This service today is not about building what we're doing. It's our prayer is that it would help you. Our prayer is that as the word is preached, it would help you, that it would encourage you, that God is alive, that God is moving. Our prayer is that you would experience God every time we're together. And our prayer through connect groups is that you would find real community, like real friends. Who likes real friends?
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me today. You like real friends?
Yeah.
Like it's nice to be nice. You know what I mean? Like it's nice to be nice. And sometimes Christians, we're so nice. Sometimes we should always be nice, not sometimes. But we're nice people. And I think Jesus was nice. I mean, I don't think he was rude, right, Sue? I don't think he walked around being rude to everybody. But let's not get stuck in Christian niceness at a shallow level. Let's get to a place where we can go deeper, where we can build real lasting relationship, where we can walk through things together. Come on, you need people in your world that you can walk through stuff with. I need people that I can share some of the stuff I can't share from the pulpit, the things I can't share with everybody. But I need some trusted people in my world that I can walk through things with. And that's why we have connect groups. We do as well. We want you to discover your purpose, the purpose of God. Everybody in this room has a gift of God in you. You know that, right? God didn't create you with dormant gifts. He created you with gifts on the inside. And it is not about being a preacher on a pulpit. Hello, somebody. The end goal is not being a preacher on a pulpit. That is not the goal. The goal is to be the body of Christ, to be the people of God. And so this pulpit isn't for stars, it's for servants. This preaching isn't for shiny celebrities, it's for helping the church of Jesus Christ be all that God has made it to be. That in your workplace and in your crazy three children, when you go home to them, that you would have the purpose of God, knowing that you're raising children to live for Christ, whatever setting, that's our goal for you. I wanted to remind you of that today. Okay, so Summer Sundays, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Talk to me, Silverwater, are you ready for the word
today?
And so I want you to get your Bible, if you've got a leather bound Bible, well done, grab it out, old school. I mean, it's really not that old school, but it feels like these days it is. If you've got an iPhone, God bless you, Samsung, you know the deal. We'll pray for you at the end. And then we have a big Bible on the screen as well. So that's really helpful. Hey, winter camp. We had summer camp rallies. Had to go online, Braden and Britt dinner. And so can you give it up for Braden and Britt, our youth overseers? And we're going to be having a winter camp. COVID's not going to stop us, so make sure, parents, you sign up your teenager for winter camp. It's going to be amazing. And in February, we have our all-in team night. So we are one church, many locations. We've got locations all over the city, and we're moving together as one. So if you are on team, we want to invite you to that night. Save the date. You're going to love it. Okay, so Tyler's message today is strengthen your stakes. Come on, everyone say steak. Strengthen, not that kind of steak, but who does love a steak? Amen. But strengthen your stakes. And I got this out of a scripture, which is not my main scripture, but it is a great scripture in Isaiah 54, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Strengthen your cords. Sorry, lengthen your cords. Here it is. Strengthen your stakes. I wanted to encourage you in 2021. I do believe it is a year to strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. When the wind blows, if you are setting up a tent, who likes camping? Anybody? Me either. And so if you are camping, what you need is you need good stakes in the ground, because when the wind blows, when that comes through the campsite, if your stakes aren't deep enough, you and your whole family in the tent are going to go with the wind. And we got a world that is easily pushed to the left and to the right with the wind. Subjective truth, relative truth, here and there, everywhere. And there are winds that are blowing. And there are winds of the world, and then there are winds of God. And we want to be strong. We want to be solid. We want to be steadfast in 2021, so we are not shaken, not moved, like a palm tree. In Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. You ever seen a palm tree in the wind? Anybody? You know, like in classic Hawaii or something, you see a palm tree and the wind blows. And the palm tree, what it does is it bends with the wind, but it doesn't break. Because its roots are founded and solid in the ground. And so what happens when your roots are deep, you can rise tall. But as you rise tall, you can also bend with the winds. You can be flexible, agile, not fragile. Who likes to stretch? Anybody like stretching? Again, me either. Okay. Who has a personal trainer? No, me either. And so when you are stretching, one of the things a personal trainer will tell you is you need to be agile, not fragile. And so stretching helps you stay agile so you don't break under pressure. And I believe God wants us to have our stakes in the ground so that we can be flexible above the ground and not broken in Jesus' name. So we're going to go to the book of James. Any Jameses here today? Hello, James. James. Okay, we'll pray for James. He comes next week. James. Here we go. James 1, 2 to 4, ESV version. And this letter was written by James, who was if it was James, we're not sure, but we do believe it was James who wrote this book, because it is James. But he is the brother of Jesus, and he's the leader of the church in Jerusalem, kind of started the church. It's 40 to 45 AD, so 40 to 45 years after Jesus' birth. And so this book is written to the Christians at the time who are facing the persecution and poverty, and like they've got the two P's, we've got the third P, which is a pandemic, but they were facing trials, challenges. And James writes this book to likely this Jewish community who were under fire, under challenge. You know, sometimes when Paul writes his letters, you read a Paul, you know, like Paul the Apostle. Anybody know Paul? Paul the Apostle, he writes letters, and he writes them, and he always starts with introductory statements. How are you? You know, hi Cletus, hi Jane, hi Sarah, whatever. You know, says hi to everybody, and it's introductory. But James skips all of that. James gets straight down to it. In verse 2, he says this straight out of the blocks. He says, hey, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Everybody say steadfastness. Steadfastness. Turn to somebody and say steadfastness. 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 And let steadfastness have its full effect. You got to let it have its full effect, that you may be perfect, Come on, who's perfect here today? Amen. Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so I want to give you three thoughts that I think James is trying to help his readers with, and that's us today. I think number one, what James is trying to say in this scripture is that trials are deposits, not withdrawals. Trials are deposits, not withdrawals. This word count, when he says count it all joy, count it all joy. That word count is actually a financial term. It's an accounting term. So it is to actually count, to assess your situation and count it, put it in your account, take the deposit into your life from your trial. Count it all joy. Who gets really pumped when things are going bad? Anybody? This is what James is saying. He's saying when you face challenge, when things are difficult, count it all joy when you meet trials. You will meet them. They will be on the journey. And it would be a false for us to stand up here and say, hey, when you start following Jesus, everything goes perfectly well. When you start following Jesus, you'll never have another challenge. Your life will be perfect. That would be a lie. In fact, sometimes when you start following Jesus, there are more challenges for following Jesus. And sometimes there are difficulties in the face of following Jesus. But the difference is this, that every trial with God is always a deposit into your life, never a withdrawal. It is never going to take away. Jesus said it like this, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. What does a full life look like? Not perfect, not free from challenge, but a full life. Who likes adventures? You know, like, have you read The Hobbit? Like, so good. Have you watched Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings would be a terrible story if there were not trials and tribulations along the way. If there were not situations where Frodo and thank God for Samwise, his little pal, if they didn't have challenges. God wants you to have a full life. Doesn't mean easy, but it means full. Fulfilling, that at the end of your days, you will look back on your life and see the hand of God all along. But it does mean that when you meet your trial, you should smile. It rhymes, so it must be true. When you meet your trial, remember to smile. Remember to say, thank you, God. There is something in this that is being deposited in my life. If you can see every challenge with this perspective, you will never lose out. You will never miss what God wants to do in your life when you see that your trials are not withdrawals, they're deposits. I've had many situations and with friends. I've had challenging moments with friends where I've lost friends, where I've had situations where I've had to make a really hard choice. And that's difficult. Like, anybody had any hard decisions you've had to make? Yeah. And they're hard. And just because you've got Jesus doesn't mean they're not hard. They can be challenging. But when I look back on the difficult situations in my life, you know what I realize? I realize that they are now, today, some of the best moments that ever happened to me. Because I got things from those times that I couldn't get any other way. Success isn't always the context where you walk away with something that you need. Sometimes it's trial. Sometimes it's challenge. But I'm so thankful to God for every situation that He's brought me through. I remember in our youth ministry, when I first stepped into overseeing our youth, there was a lot of disunity. There was a lot of moving parts and it was very disconnected. And I came into a situation that was very disunified. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've come into situations where there's lots of division in a workplace, in a family, in whatever situation. But what I learned through coming into disunity was how to establish unity. And now because of that, we had to learn what disunity looked like so we could learn how to shape things into a unified culture, into a unified thing. God always wants to deposit something into your life, every challenge you face. Matthew 4, we read about Jesus. And Jesus, who likes Jesus? Anybody? Come on, you're alive today? Hello? Okay. Jesus, great guy, our Savior and Lord, He just got this moment, the moment of moments, Ben, the moment of moments where he is baptized. You know what baptism is? We're down in the water, comes up out of the water. And as he comes out of the water, a voice from heaven, the voice of the Father says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And it's from that moment that Jesus starts to step into his ministry. But do you know what happens next? It says that God, in Matthew 4, you can read it, leads God into the wilderness. Why? To be tested. Oh, gosh. Thanks, God. Thanks so much for that. The first thing before Jesus did anything, stepped into what God was doing, he had to go into the wilderness. Why? To be tested. Because there is a deposit. There was a deposit for Jesus in the wilderness that he couldn't get anywhere else. He could only get it under a trial. And so as he responded to Satan himself, Jesus walked out ready, made ready. God wants to make you ready for 2021. So just because you're finding yourself maybe in a hard situation, do not read that as God leaving you. It might be that God is shaping you. God might be forming you. God might be testing you. Maybe there's some things that are testing your patience. Maybe you've got an attitude about some things. Maybe you're upset about some things. Maybe you're offended about some things. Let God work in the trial. Because he's going to give you something that is going to help you. God wants to help you, church. God wants to help you. But sometimes his help is within a trial. Jesus died on the cross, right? Good theology. Jesus died on the cross, but in that death was resurrection life. Death looked like a dead end, but it was really a doorway for humanity to find Christ. And so things in the way of Jesus always work like this. There is always resurrection in what Jesus is doing in your life. He is the resurrected one. And so if you will follow him, even into a dark place, even into a dead place, even into a hard place, even into a dry place, if you will follow Jesus into the challenge, follow him. If he's leading you somewhere difficult, follow him. If he's leading you to confront something, follow him. If he's leading you to forgive somebody, follow him. If he's leading you to repent of sin, follow him. Wherever he's leading you, follow him. Why? Because in that place, he's got something for you. He's got something for you that you can't get any other way if you follow him. And so Jesus, even himself, had to walk through the wilderness. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Trials are deposits, not withdrawals. Second thought today is that resistance builds resilience. James said that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The testing of your faith produces something in you called steadfastness. And I got to let you know, this is going to sound like heresy, okay, everybody? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You don't look ready. Are you ready? On Zoom, are you ready? Put down the coffee, get ready. Are you ready? Come on. God isn't as invested in your situation as you think. The thing God cares most about is your faith in Him. Because if we look at God through the filter of my comfort is what He is here to bring. My situation being perfect is God's agenda in my life. If that is your filter on God, you will always be left wondering. But God's greatest purpose for you is that your faith in Him would grow, not that your life would be perfect. Jesus said, in this life, guys, you will have trouble. You will. But don't worry. I have overcome the world. I am above trouble. I am above trial. I am above addiction. I am above cancer. I am above a pandemic. I am above. Jesus is above it. But He's so invested in your life, but it's not what you think sometimes. It's not always your situation being made perfect. Actually, the thing He is most invested in is your faith in Him growing. Because if your faith in God grows, you will have all you need. When it is all said and done, the evaluation of your life will not be things, and it will not be your situation, it'll be your faith. And so let trials produce steadfastness in your faith. You got to let Him. How's everyone doing? You doing all right? You got to let the trial. This is a harder message, but it's something I believe we need to hear for this year. We need to allow trials to make us steady. Resistance builds resilience. I think James is trying to say that you need to be resilient, and who knows, we got a lot of lack of resilience in the world today, right? To be resilient, God needs a resilient church. I cannot afford a fleeting faith that comes and goes. One day I have it on Monday. Oh God, I'm full of faith. Tuesday, I'm empty of faith. I need a resilient faith. I need a faith that can trust God when things are good and can trust God when things aren't. And this is what God wants to build in your life, resilience, that you can stand and be steadfast in the face of all sorts of craziness, that you can be strong and steady. And if you will remain, you will be fruitful. If you remain, you will see the harvest that God has for you. John 15, 1 to 5, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain, here it is, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. I'm telling you, we need more Romanians. Steadfast. The ability to stay. And I think in this year we're going to need the ability to stay, to be patient. When I reflect on 2020, honestly, I thought it was going to be like this amazing clean slate. You know, like 2020's over, pandemic's gone, never again, bye. It's not quite like that. It's not quite what I was expecting. So we're going to need staying power. You know, like the best thing about marriage is not all the things that actually led to marriage. You know, like, oh, he's so hot. You know, like, wow, look at his muscles. He's so, man, he's so sexy. Oh my gosh, wow. Man, she's such a babe. Oh my gosh. And all these things. But actually, you know what ends up being the best thing? It's consistency. All the boring words. He comes home every day. He's got a job. Amen. He's kind, consistently kind. Talks well to his family. These are the things that actually give you a great life. And with God, the thing that gives you a great walk with God is not the sugar high. The thing that gives you a great walk with God is that even under trial, you can remain. And I want to encourage you this year to remain. Let's be Romanians. Galatians 6 verse 9, ESV says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Okay, so you will reap in time if you don't quit. But if you are getting dumbbells and working on your biceps, going for a run, if you do that one time, it's not going to do anything. You got to go back. You got to go back to the Word of God. You got to go back to praying. You got to go back to the house of God. You got to go back to Connect Group. You got to go back. It's the coming back. It's the continuing. It's the constancy. It's the consistency that actually will reap the harvest if you do not give up. So church, do not give up. We don't give up. The road to resilience is resistance. And so I pray that we would embrace every bit of resistance. The last thing I want you to catch today is that as James is finishing in this passage, he says, "Let steadfast have its full effect, that you may be complete, perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What does that word perfect and complete mean? Together, it means maturity. Not that you're like this perfect person, but actually you are mature. You are whole. You have grown up. And the goal for us, third thought, is that we would be childlike, not childish. Like, but aren't we meant to be like children before the Lord? Yes. Childlike faith and innocence of heart, but throwing tantrums? Like a diaper is fine when you're a baby, but when you're 40, come on, bro. God wants you to grow up. God wants me to grow up. Things that used to offend me. Okay, so the things that I used to get put off by, God doesn't want you to stay there being put off by the same things in 10 years. The goal is that the things that used to put you off, used to offend you, used to affect you, in 10 years don't. Don't even see the light of day in your offense scale. God is wanting you to grow. God wants you, when things that used to shake you, to grow into a place where your faith is unshakable. The goal is to grow, to be mature. And in God's kingdom, last thought, here it is. In God's kingdom, immaturity leads to poverty. But in God's kingdom, maturity leads to possession. So for you to really fully take hold of everything that God has done through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to live a life, to follow Him, to walk in the ways of Jesus, for that to really take part in your life, it's going to mean you have to mature. And so God is a loving Father and He will prod you. You know, like a good dad doesn't just wash over things, He addresses them. And so if you feel God getting up in your grill, getting up in your business, speaking to you about things that you don't want Him to, that's a sign that He's helping you be childlike, not childish. And Jesus said it Sorry, Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.